You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
You're listening to Let's Talk About Auditions, a new mini-series from The Ensemblist, the only podcast that shows you Broadway from the inside out. Welcome, I'm Mo Brady. They don't know where they want to go, but they're walking in time. They got the beat, they got the beat. Welcome to a new mini-series from The Ensemblist, where we sit down with folks on the other side of the casting table to ask them about what they're really looking for in a Broadway ensemble. As performers, we hear time and again that the folks casting shows want auditioners to succeed. But what does that success actually look like? Spencer Liff began his Broadway career as a dancer, performing in the original companies of Big, The Wedding Singer, and Crybaby. But for the last 10 years, Liff has worked on the other side of the table, creating staging for both stage and screen. He's an Emmy nominee for his work on So You Think You Can Dance, where he has been a resident choreographer for a decade. Back on Broadway, he's created staging for Hedwig and the Angry Inch, Spring Awakening, Falsettos, and Head Over Heels. I was recently able to speak to him on a short trip to New York, where he was here casting a new workshop of Reefer Madness. Here's our conversation.
Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Introduce yourself and I guess tell us your Broadway choreography credits.
All right. My name is Spencer Liff and I have choreographed four shows on Broadway, starting with Hedwig and the Angry Inch and then the revival of Spring Awakening, the Deaf West version that was in sign language. And then I did the revival of Falsettos. And then my first original Broadway show as a choreographer was Head Over Heels this season.
And you're in New York right now casting...
I am in New York at this very moment in the middle of casting Reefer Madness, the new relaunched 20th anniversary production of Reefer Madness. We are doing a production this fall in a workshop, like a good proper workshop under that new contract that was just sort of fought for and agreed upon. And we're doing that this summer.
The first Broadway ensemble you ever cast was Spring Awakening. Then your next big Broadway ensemble, I mean, big is relative, but Head Over Heels, right? And that's eight people?
Head Over Heels was truly my first time to cast and craft, you know, a Broadway ensemble of dancers, triple threats, start from scratch. And, you know, I'd been with the show when we were just doing readings up at Vassar. And then I got to really prove myself as a choreographer and make my mark on what I thought the show could be with our workshop that we did now, I guess 3 years ago. That was my moment to show Michael Mayer and show the producers why the show needed to dance, how it could dance, and why they needed to let me cast like true rock star dancers. You know, when the show was at Oregon Shake, it had a different life with a different creative team entirely, and they scrapped that and started over. And the show really didn't move. It was a singer show. And I knew instantly when reading it on the page that the dance could offer so much in terms of landscape and world shaping, and that ensemble could add so much fabulousness to the heart of that show. And so I fought really hard, and I killed myself finding really great dancers. And
what does fought really hard look like?
Crafting an ensemble is when you're at the casting table, you have to like throw a stake down into, you know, and say, I need this. I need these people. And it is a polite battle between the music director, the choreographer. In those early stages, they said, let's not worry about covering yet. Like, we'll just give you these eight people. Tom Kitt graciously said, I learned what I needed to from the last reading we did at Vassar. He said, why don't you learn what you need to in the workshop?
Oh my God.
And cast the dancers that you want. And that was incredibly kind of him because he said, like, I know what I need to know. Like, we don't have to have the best voices in the world, but like, why don't you have some killer dancers? We ended up with people that really could do both, but his willingness to let me do that allowed me to create what the dance was in that show in those 4 weeks. And then, you know, the producers, the directors, they couldn't imagine the show without the dancing like that. It wasn't like we were going to take a step backwards to then add voices and covers, etc. It just meant that we then really had to find people for the production that could do all those things. And we saw 600 plus dancers for those eight tracks and then two swing tracks. Carnahan cast it. They, you know, he's a great office there. And they stuck with me call after call after call until we found what we needed.
And what did you need?
We needed these like unicorns that could kick their face and dance. And not only like a Broadway style dancing, I was like doing voguing and pop and locking and you know, tutting and triple pirouettes and kick your face. To dance like that with this very queer aesthetic and this unique personality. Then you had to sing this insanely hard rock score. Mm-hmm. The singing was not easy in that show. And then all of our ensemble had to cover people like Bonnie Milligan and, you know, Taylor and Sosha. You know, these are not easy roles. They have to act on Shakespeare text. They have to sing this incredibly hard show. And we knew that like they'd have to be going on. There wasn't a singer ensemble that was there to cover those people. It had to be the eight dancers. And so we kept pushing and we kept trying, and we found incredible swing dance captains that covered the leads as well. And like the very last piece was this girl named Amber Artolino. Mm-hmm.
She's been on the podcast recently. Yeah.
So Amber, you might hate this story because after seeing 600 dancers, I needed one last tall, leggy girl who could sing her face off and cover. I kept asking her to come in and she could never come in. And there was a girl already cast, Samantha Polino, and they had been in Hamilton, Chicago together. And Samantha kept like saying, there's this girl that's like great. She would fit it. She'd be great. Samantha went to Chicago and like taught her the audition combo, and they did it in like the gym of their building they lived in Chicago. And she sent in the tape, and I'm like, damn, this girl is good. But she just couldn't get in the room ever for any of our calls. And we did the very last call, you know, 15 auditions later, just for this one last girl spot that had to sort of tick all these boxes. And at the end of the day, the girl wasn't in the room. And I said, you know what? There's this girl who sent in a tape, and we opened it up on the laptop and we watched it, the whole team, and the whole team went, okay, hire that girl. So after seeing 600 people, and some of these poor dancers came in so many times, the girl who never actually came in the room got the job. Sometimes it works like that. And she came in and she was hands down, like, you know, one of everybody's favorites. Everybody who saw the show was like, that girl in the yellow tights with the legs. I'm like, yeah, I hired her off of tape.
How many of the eight were part of that workshop you did?
Only two. And it wasn't because we didn't want a lot of our workshop people back. They were just all really talented and booked. you know, Demarius went into Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Nina LaFargo was in the original, and she went off into Frozen. Jenny LaRoche went off into Donna Summer. Like, they all got shows because we were about a year from our workshop. We didn't have a theater. We didn't have a space. We were, like, had this great workshop, and then we're in that pile of shows waiting for the will we get a theater. And by the time it happened, a whole year had passed, and, you know, people go. Some of my favorites were Ari Groover was one of the original dancers, and she was a huge inspiration to me. She had been a student of mine in Broadway Dreams. I'd known her since she was 17. She walked in the room and just instantly like grabbed everyone. She was the one. Michael Mayer said to me, you can hire anyone you want, but you have to hire that girl. And I like secretly was like, okay, like I freaking love her. I've known her forever. Happy to hire that girl for you, Michael. And in the workshop, like her movement style opened up my mind of, you know, I thought I wanted all these tall, leggy, kick-your-face technical girls, and Ari has such a different vibe going on about her.
Right.
And she pulled the style, like, into that world and became a muse, almost, for a lot of that movement. So she, luckily, stuck around, and I had created this world, these, like, twin tracks for her and Demaryius originally, and when Demaryius couldn't do it, Justin Prescott stepped in, and they became the twins, and that flourished in that, you know, in that moment. But
is there a unifying quality that makes someone a good ensemble member, or is it really show to show?
It has to be show to show. I think certain creators are drawn to certain people. I am just super into unique people. I am less drawn to like a cookie cutter look. I think nowadays on Broadway anyway, the diversity is going crazy in such a good way. And whereas before, if you had like 12 girls, like 10 of them would be like perfect, beautiful white girls, and then you would have like one African-American track and, you know, one of another race, maybe, if you're talking about like these classic shows. And now that is just so not the case anymore. And what I'm most drawn to, I think, is just confidence in the room, in all of the aspects, like confidence and uniqueness in their dance audition, and then they can walk in the room and be able to pull off their song at whatever level their voice is and charm the room. And, you know, that quality you can show in an audition, that comfortable, confident quality, is what gives me faith that I could trust you with whatever I had to throw you. If I'm changing something last second, then, you know, night of the final preview, that you're going to just do it.
Does it really matter what you wear to an audition?
Yes, for me. It's funny, I was thinking about that. I'm into fashion anyway. Look good in an audition. I am super into show shoes. I will always ask if you wear like a great pair of show shoes. I can't help. Like, you can tell, you know, their cute custom T.O. Day shoe, or their colored Leduca or whatever, their can-can boot from something. It's like a little pop of color. It's a thing. I think you should do a little research on what the show is and just have a tiny brushstroke of that vibe in your look. It's not to say that I can't imagine you not in that, but it's not, you know, harmful for you to come in. And if I'm casting 1930s sort of pinup girl looks, like, look like that. Don't come in a grungy, gothy LA 90s look. Like, you're just doing yourself a disservice already in me trying to see you as something that would be in the show.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
You mentioned the sort of like battle that can happen on the casting table between departments. Is that the hardest part of casting a musical? Is the compromise and the collaboration to make sure that everybody gets what they need from an ensemble?
It's a difficult thing to do, especially if you don't know the team very well. Like, I actually met, you know, this director at 9:55 a.m., you know, we'd had phone conversations, and like, boom, at 10 a.m., we got people coming in. So we're like figuring each other out and like figuring out how we gel. Are our tastes the same? Do we let, you know, everybody wants their part of the show to flourish and be great. So of course the music director is fighting for, he needs to cover the alto part and soprano part, and he needs his tenor, and like, he knows what he needs. And then I'm thinking, for me to be able to create something great, I need a lot of versatility. I need technique. I need, there's so many different styles in Reefer Madness. I'm looking for contemporary dancers and people that can do like swing and Lindy Hop and do tap dancing and do like, it's kind of crazy all the things I need. And those people also all have to cover the leads, very difficult lead parts. And that means acting on text in a very stylized way. And so, you know, you start to cast a wide net and you just have to narrow down as you go along until you get to the final day of callbacks, we'll lay everybody's pictures out on the floor and everyone just starts to point to their favorite people. And it becomes a hopefully friendly, it's often a friendly negotiation of that girl's a great voice and she doesn't dance that well, but I will take her if you let me have this person who is a fierce dancer and work with her voice. Because if I'm going to spend all the extra time, you know, getting her to dance up to the par of what I need for these production numbers, then you can spend a little extra time working with this girl on her voice. And if that trade is willing to sort of happen, then it is. It's like, I would say it's like trading baseball cards. I understand that now being on the other side of it. I was a fantastic dancer and not a great singer. And I now know, like, every time I walked into a room, that choreographer, the Rob Ashford or somebody, had to like trade me for somebody to get me in the show. I want the dancers to know that it's not personal. There's so many great dancers that come in. I've had people that have worked with me so many times and they come in the room and they just don't have what we need for this particular show. The music director says, they can't sing it. I can't work with that. And I got to go, okay, I'm not going to fight you on it. Like, it's not for this show. And, you know, you think like, God, I hope they don't. They realize that it's not because I didn't like them. It's not because they're not great. It just doesn't fit the puzzle piece.
Like for Reefer Madness, you've got tap dancing and Lindy Hop and backup. So is the ideal person like a 6 out of 10 at all of those things, or a 10 out of 10 at one of those things and a 4 at everything else?
It's a great question, because you don't want this like middle of the road person. Like, you don't want somebody that's just a 5 at everything, because then you have people who aren't great at anything. No, the ideal is that you have somebody that's hitting an 8 or 9 in every category. But let's say like somebody is a 10 in everything, but literally can't tap dance at all. Guess what? You're not in the tap number. Like, I'll figure out how to work around that. You know, if it's, especially if I'm crafting now a show, this is a revival, but we're doing like, you know, a big reimagine of it, and I get to put my own mark on it. And, you know, it might be that I get somebody who on their resume is an incredible tango dancer. Damn straight, I'll find a place to put that in there, or like great acro or whatever it is. The greatest thing you can have as a performer is just to have a giant bag of tricks to pull from, because it just gives options. I look down and I'm like, fire eating. All right, I will figure out how we could put that in the show. All the little boxes you can check off, the better.
Let's say somebody's coming in tomorrow to audition for you. What's one thing you really wish they knew?
That I want nothing more than for them to be amazing. I think it feels so often when you come in a room that like you're trying to prove yourself, you're trying to like you're up against this wall of faces just staring at you and judging you. I'm just dying for this killer unicorn to walk in the room. Everybody that comes in, all I want is for you to be great and succeed and have a great audition and be the person I'm looking for and tick all the boxes. And I think it's a really hard thing to grasp on the other side of it, but I think that's part of what could give somebody that ability to just be calm and be themselves and be authentic and come in and show what they've got, and that it's exactly what I'm looking for, and like have that little quality that is just saying, you've been waiting for me to walk in this room and here I am, and you know, I dare you not to cast me. That's what I look for. So I think as people continue to audition and take the hits of not getting it and you know, all the things that come with this sometimes very hard business, keeping the dream in your head that like you are going to walk in that room and that part is waiting for you and you're going to be the answer to exactly what somebody needs at some point, and that'll be your moment.
Special thanks to Spencer Liff for sharing his stories with us this week. You can learn more about him and how to connect with him online by visiting our website, theensemblist.com. The Ensemblist was produced today by me, Mo Brady. You can help others find out about The Ensemblist by leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Super easy to do, guys, and it really does mean a lot. You can also follow us on Instagram to see the latest posts on our website, where we are sharing the stories of talented artists working in Broadway ensembles. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.